Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome, everybody. And, of course, the big story for nearly a week now is the horrible murder of a 24-year-old woman by the name of Brianna Kupfer as she worked in a furniture store called Croft House. This is on La Brea and the Hancock Park section of Los Angeles. About 2 in the afternoon last Thursday, apparently a man came in. She felt so uncomfortable, she texted a friend, and she said, I'm not getting good vibes here. And it wasn't long after that that he apparently stabbed her to death and then made his way to a 7-Eleven. Now, they did put the case together because there was apparently some DNA at the scene. They were eventually able to put it into the system, and they tracked it to a known criminal who apparently has a long rap sheet. And then they eventually got the surveillance video, and they put it all out, and he was arrested today in Pasadena.
We are going to talk now with Sheriff Alex Villanueva. It's Sean Laval Smith, and as we mentioned just a little while ago, he has been arrested in the Carolinas on dozens of charges. He's been arrested out here several times. He has attacked at least 2 police officers. He seems to spend very little, if any, time in jail anywhere, and he constantly flees court hearings. He doesn't show up.
And yeah, he gets bail, but there's plenty of warrants out on him.
He's had 14 arrest warrants just in the Carolinas. And, of course, he comes to L.A. So let's get Sheriff Villanueva on the line here. Thanks for coming on with us.
You got it, guys.
God, everybody is so angry and so frustrated, and they feel so helpless because it doesn't feel like anybody outside of you is on the side of the good guys.
Well, that's a sad state of affairs, but you look at that long criminal history on this suspect, and there's people arguing that he's just a victim of circumstance, or they'll accuse maybe that the law enforcement is racially profiling him, or that it's just the arrest, but he's an angel in between all those arrests. And the point is that this is a career criminal. That is a standard practice of this individual, and we can't measure people just by the number of arrests. You have to wonder what activity happens between the arrests that we don't know about.
Yeah, and some of the arrests included assaults on police officers and shooting into a vehicle. It's not like this guy was just a thief. There's some pretty horrible things in there.
Yes, and everyone, slap on the wrist and out the door again.
Are there a lot of these guys out there?
There's enough to cause a 94% increase in our homicide rate in L.A. County for the last 2 years. And the sad thing is it's a small number of people that are responsible for an awful lot of crime, and we're trying to put them behind bars, but I have a DA who's trying to get them out as quickly as we put them in.
So the homicide rate has almost doubled in L.A. County in 2 years?
Yes, 94% from 2019 to 2021.
What was that nonsense that Garcetti was trying to sell a few days ago?
I have no idea how he's trying to spin it, but the fact is that every single progressive cause that he's championed has blown up in his face, and it's just they're not grounded in reality. Look at the MTA, which has been delivering this killer to his destinations on a regular basis, and they're voting to get rid of law enforcement. That's what their committee just announced on Friday, what their recommendation is, and who on earth is going to support that?
In the face of so much violence, I mean, this case just topped them all. How could they be pushing for even less police, less law enforcement? I don't understand this. I mean, everybody I talk to feels like the world is insane.
Well, I have the MTA chair, Hilda Solis. She said when she assumed the chair of the MTA board that she wanted to increase outreach to the homeless, which includes a suspect, and decrease the presence of law enforcement on our transit systems. What could go wrong with that combination, right? And now, after the tragic killing of the nurse over at Union Station, which you heard about.
Yes.
And that assault on Thursday, the advisory committee comes out with their 24 points on Friday, which basically is to get rid of all of law enforcement. And then on Sunday, she says that, well, the nurse dies tragically. Then she says, we want to enhance safety on our transit system. while they're busy trying to get rid of law enforcement on the transit systems.
To what end, though? She wants more dead people? How many innocent people do they want dead in the streets?
You know what? That is a good question. And they just can't stomach the fact that law enforcement has a vital role to play. It works. And instead of demonizing and defunding law enforcement, how about assist and support law enforcement and gain credibility within the community that they're trying to destroy? And, you know, we'd have a different outcome.
I mean, overwhelmingly, it's minorities who end up getting killed.
Oh, yes. The ones that pay the price are definitely not the woke wonders. They're coming up with these nonsense ideas. It's the poor black and brown community that relies on the buses and the trains, relies on law enforcement to keep them alive. They're the one that pay the price.
What else are in the crime statistics? You said a 94% increase in homicides over 2 years. What other news do you have?
Another gem was we had, a 59% increase in grand theft auto, which is astronomical considering just the sheer volume of stolen cars out there. And a lot of this is now pandemic-driven because we had a drop in residential burglaries. We saw a drop in sexual assaults. But then that's because a lot of people are home and the opportunities for a lot of these crimes has changed.
How much do you think the lack of consequences plays into all this?
Oh, very huge. Look at the rail thefts and the cargo thefts that are happening right now on the rail lines that Union Pacific is complaining about. Those are all opportunity thefts. There's no consequences. Look at the organized smash-and-grab robberies. They know that if they get caught at worst, it's a simple ticket. They're out the door, and they're not going to show up in court again. It'll be another useless warrant in the system. And that is Prop 47, that zero bail schedule, and that's my dear friend, George Gascon at work.
Well, do you think people are picking up on all this? The citizens of L.A. County are realizing that there's been a horrific turn in the criminal justice system with people like George Gascon running around?
I think they're starting to catch on and connecting the obvious. And you know, sometimes it takes a while, but look at the tragic murder of Jackie Avant. Then you go to Brianna Kupfer. Then you go to the nurse. And what about the 13-year-old boy in Pasadena playing video games and gets shot at home playing video games? But the 9-year-old girl shot in the back in a playground over in Wilmington. There's a lot of bad things happening, but until it touches themselves directly, they're going to still be cranking out these woke wonders and these policies that are
But you've talked with these woke heads and you've debated them and argued with them. What are they trying to accomplish? Do they not see all the dead bodies, all the carnage, all the suffering?
All they can see is their claims of systemic racism, mass incarceration. Oh, and now on the homeless population, it's all about self-determination. So apparently...
Well, they can't do self-determination. They're mentally ill or drug addicted or both. You can't make a rational decision when you're like that.
Well, we cleaned up Olvera Street. We helped out Kevin DeLeon on Olvera Street, and now he's getting attacked by the activists because he's cleaning up Olvera Street and providing shelter. But it's not, again, we're violating their right to self-determination, apparently.
Wow.
And this man today, I guess you made some comment about this Smith guy that's arrested for Brianna's murder. You think there's some mental health issues that weren't addressed?
Along the way, quite possible. Look at the Burlington, the 14-year-old girl that was shot tragically by accident by LAPD. That suspect was in that store for half an hour doing weird stuff that should have generated a call, but everybody's getting so used to having these people acting out in psychosis and different mental health crises that it's considered normal up until the point they start killing somebody.
That's
and we
really
got to dial
point.
It back a bit here.
That's a really good point. You're right. It's becoming the new normal, so we just ignore it until, you're right, somebody starts trying to kill people. That's what's dangerous.
Yes, and then imagine on a transit system. Look at New York City. A homeless guy pushed a lady and killed her, pushed her under a subway. When you go on a transit platform, you're taking it's a vote of confidence. You believe everybody around you is not going to throw you under the train, literally. So we really have to start paying attention to the presence of people with mental health issues on our transit systems.
All right, Sheriff Villanueva, always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, you got a show coming up Sunday night.
That's right, Sunday night on KFI.
8 to 10 Sunday night, and you're going to do that every Sunday night for the time being, right?
Yeah, I'll be trying that, and it'll be unscripted. We'll have a new guest every week, and we're going to tackle the big issues, and they're no holds barred, and all questions.
Well, you know what? You're good at this.
Yeah.
We welcome you to the family here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, folks.
All right.
All right. Alex Villanueva, L.A. County Sheriff, who likes to pick on the architects of failure, and now he calls them the woke wonders.
And you can hear him Sunday night and every Sunday night now from 8 to 10 here on KFI.
I saw a picture from New York. The sheriff mentioned the woman that got pushed in front of the subway, that's not the first one. You know what some people are doing now? They're waiting sort of behind the turnstile. When the train comes in, they run their pass through and then walk up to the train. They don't even want to be near the tracks, you see, because they might get pushed in front of a train by some crazy person.
You know, when I've been in New York, I hide behind the pillar on the opposite side of where the train is coming.
I look around. I just keep looking around, trying to see anybody that I don't think is with it.
You know what? I was nervous last night. On the way home, I stopped for gas on the west side on Santa Monica Boulevard, and it's dark, and my head's on a swivel because it's at a sketchy intersection, right? And there's weirdos just wandering around, and I hate pumping gas at a station, especially in the dark. I just can't stand it because there's entries everywhere, right?
Yeah.
They can come from four different directions, and there's all kinds of weirdos that hang out at the convenience store on the station. It's nerve-wracking. All right, more coming up. John and Ken Show. Oh, I got a new crazy story from Venice that I just found. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, get this one. This is out of the westsidecurrent.com news site.
Sure.
A woman is walking on the Venice boardwalk 11 a.m. Wednesday, taking her grandchild for a walk, holding a cup of coffee. The story comes from the baby's father, George Gross. Gross said another woman approached his mother-in-law and said, "Someone took my baby, give me yours." The woman then proceeded to grab grandma's coffee, take the lid off, and threw it on her and the baby.
No, hot coffee.
Gross said the coffee did not hurt the child because she had on a winter sweater. The woman took off and was involved in a similar incident a short time later. Coincidentally, the mother of the child, Katie Gross, was interviewed by Channel 2 for a story on that decompression center that is supposed to go up near their home.
The Westminster Park.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we just talked about that last hour, that the residents are very upset because they cleared the homeless out of there, but now they're going to set up some sort of compression center for drug addicts and stuff, mental health people.
She'd been telling Channel 2 that bringing this shelter would turn back what we fought so hard for to make this a safe space for everyone because they had just gotten Westminster Park cleared out. So she gives that interview on Tuesday. The next morning, her mother takes her 9-month-old child out for a walk, and a crazy woman grabs the coffee and dumps it on her mother and her child. The suspect was taken into custody, facing battery charges. Oh, sure.
Yes, that's the citation. See you later.
Both the victim and police confirm that the woman had some sort of mental illness.
Wow.
I mean, they're not professionals. Just, you know, you have to be clear. That's not an official clinical diagnosis.
There was a good one today, and I'm trying to find it now. Oh, here it is. The El Segundo Times. Remember Faith Pinho?
the writer. Oh,
yes. Reached out to us about the recall, the Newsom recall.
That's right. Until we wanted
to help a stranger on the street in a mental health crisis. You're walking down the street and you encounter someone crying. Or perhaps the person seems worked up in some other way, screaming at the air or rocking back and forth in distress. A disquieting feeling follows. Do you attempt to say something? Call emergency services? Or perhaps the likeliest option, avert your eyes, cross the street, and keep moving. Well, yeah, that's the same thing to do.
Yeah, run for your life.
She goes on to explain how 20% of adults in the state have a mental illness. Wow.
Including most of the LA Times writing staff.
And, you know, they talked to a doctor, said, well, if you saw somebody choking on the street having chest pain, you'd do something about it, wouldn't you? Well, a mental health crisis, they need help too. But, you know, really?
That's nuts. That's a ridiculous comparison. People with mental health crises are in imminent danger of dying.
Yeah. If then you see a vagrant screaming on a street corner, are you really going to walk up to them and says, so what you have to establish is the person just having a bad day? Or are they in danger of hurting themselves or hurting someone else?
No, you run away. You assume they're going to hurt someone else. A lot of these people have knives on them or guns. They have it because they have to protect themselves, because at night in the homeless camp, it's crazy town. They're always fighting, and they're always being assaulted, and people are stealing stuff from each other, and they're raping the women. They all have weapons on them to protect themselves to get through the night, so they carry those around all day. The hell is Faith Pinho?
Oh, what a fantastic nut. Approach the person with your heads on the same level so you're not towering over them intimidatingly.
No, just turn around and run.
Maintain a physical distance because they might feel you're a threat. Don't stare or hold a direct eye contact for long. They may feel it's confrontational or threatening. Wow, this is really...
You know something? You get a bad vibe, like Brianna Kupfer said. Get a bad vibe.
That's what she wrote.
I actually read a couple of books on this. There was a book on deep survival, it was called, about why some people survive disasters and others don't. Gavin De Becker wrote one years ago on this, and Malcolm Gladwell also did a chapter in one of his books. And they all had the same idea. You get a bad feeling, you get a bad instinct, a bad vibe.
You trust it, right?
You trust it, you're right over 90% of the time, and run. Get one foot in front of the other. Get out of the situation as quickly as possible. That's what you do. That's how you survive. You get away from the danger. Don't worry that you're profiling, that you're stereotyping, that you're not being fair. None of that crap that's been pumped into everybody's brain. Get out of there. If you have a bad feeling, there's a good reason for it. Go.
All right. We got more coming up.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Shampo. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, the Moist Line is back day after tomorrow during this very hour. Leave your messages anytime at 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Earlier this hour, we were talking to the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, doing a recap of the crime statistics for L.A. County for 2021. Of course, they were horrific, especially compared to pre-pandemic 2019. One of the things, though, he mentioned when we talked about a lack of consequences was the train cargo theft story, which finally got picked up by the New York Times, sifting through the train thefts of Los Angeles by Christine Hauser and Michael Christopher Brown. And before you even get halfway through the story, what else do they do? But they find some person from the academic field to explain to us it's because people are desperate. The pandemic has made things really hard for people, and this is all they can do is to reach out and steal.
No, they steal because they make a lot of money. They're not desperate. It's just easy work. Yeah. Because there's no consequences.
Well, they did, and as you know, Union Pacific, which is running the cargo trains, sent a letter to Gascon's office, the L.A. County D.A., asking him, what's up? You're not prosecuting these people. Alex Bastian, a special advisor to Gascon, said the charges have been filed, but others were declined because of insufficient evidence. Sometimes people are saying something like, oh, I found this on the street.
So that's it? So
like a boogie board or something?
If you run,
somebody took an urn with ashes. Boy, that's really horrible.
What are you going to do with that?
I don't know, but that was apparently found. I think it was found among the debris.
You put that on eBay? I guess you could get the survivors to pay to get it back.
Right.
So you could steal this stuff. You run a half a block, and if the cops catch you, say, no, I just found it here. That works? That's all you need? Why can't... There must be that area there that we've seen all the pictures with all the trash. They can't have...
That's the Lincoln Heights area, just outside of downtown Los Angeles.
They can't have police, security, cameras, bright lights, your rabid dogs I mean, that must be a spot where it's easy to jump on the train and do that maneuver we explained yesterday. They pull on something that slows it down. The train thinks like, uh-oh, we've got some equipment failure. And then it stops the train, and then they go to town.
Yeah, apparently all they need is a couple of tools like a bolt cutter, and they get right in there. We have another report on all this, and it's got a new, I haven't heard it, but it seems to have a new angle about fire. This is from John Caddy's Klimak from NBC4. Let's listen to this report on the cargo theft.
Still a mess out here, as you can see, as crews try to clean this up and clear the tracks to keep the trains moving. But still a criminal issue, too, as even though there are a lot more eyes on these train tracks, the thieves continue their work.
New video shared with NBC4 from a Union Pacific engineer who says the sight is all too common. A fire inside a cargo container as it made its way through downtown L.A. And this.
He's got a crowbar in his hand and they're surrounding him right now.
This one is recorded from a computer monitor showing what the engineer says are two thieves confronting a Union Pacific employee on the tracks. This video, recorded just days after our NBC4 investigation, exposed what was happening on the tracks in East LA last November.
Wow. That's all pulled from trains.
The LA County Sheriff has a task force specifically assigned to investigate cargo thefts. But when we showed the sheriff the thieves in action, he seemed to know nothing about it, promising to look into it. The department says they've been in contact with the rail company attempting to deter thefts now happening near the City of Commerce as well.
Obviously, you've seen the video. What do you think of that?
Yeah, John, it's really disappointing, frustrating.
Union Pacific thanked NBC4 for our coverage, saying our November story aired in the midst of their escalated advocacy efforts, hoping to get state lawmakers on board to help curb the crime.
This issue is handled differently in other states. It's handled differently in other counties of the state here. And so while we appreciate the leadership from the governor's office and a host of other elected leaders, we're asking for short-term immediate actions in addition to long-term structural changes that will help us prevent this issue from going forward.
But multiple employees of the rail company, including the engineer that shared this video, say Union Pacific only has one assigned police officer for all 275 miles of track through L.A. County. UP says it's brought in police power from a 22-state network, making 150 arrests since NBC4 broke the story.
Is there an end to this, do you think?
I sure hope so.
Union Pacific blames the L.A. District Attorney's Office for not filing enough charges here, but the DA says they filed what they could. Others they threw out because there wasn't enough evidence. But what is evident even now is that these thieves continue working. Reporting from East Los Angeles, I'm John Cadiz Klimak, NBC4 News.
Fires in the cargo compartments.
I'm rereading that quote you mentioned. Isha Sharma, assistant professor of marketing. At the Fowler College of Business at San Diego State, she said it's persistent inequality, a sense of falling behind.
Yeah, they found a woke academic.
Can you believe this? There's 12 million jobs available right now. 12 million job openings. Find one. A lot of individuals are facing financial challenges, said Professor Sharma. She wrote a paper 9 years ago on the relationship between inequity and theft.
Oh, no. This is the crowd that sometimes excuses looting because these people are desperate.
It's inequity. The inequity. They don't want to show up at a job every day and make money. It's a lot easier and a lot more lucrative just to...
It's the same thing. They believe all the corporations are exploiting and robbing people, so why is it so bad if they strike back
right.
The poor people and
sure.
Take something?
They're just taking a cut out of Amazon. What does that matter?
Just getting their fair share from what they've been denied. Don't you know that?
And the thing is, the New York Times writers put it in the story as if it's a legitimate point of view, as if it's not insane. Well, here's the other side of the story here. Before you rationally
you
condemn
harshly
these
judge
people,
these people, right?
Oh. God.
They're desperate and they don't have equality.
How did this happen?
I don't know. It really wasn't that long ago. We were never looking at stories like these. I remember this whole thing just started with some kids on college campuses. Remember
uh-huh.
throwing tantrums?
Yes.
That's all it was for a while. Then suddenly it's exploded into like all the media.
Everywhere. All media, the corporate world, all the politicians, the military is all into woke stuff. It's everywhere. And everybody normal is looking at this and saying, this is insane. When does this stop?
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, let's go back on the John and Ken show and test your memory for 1 minute. Do you remember the name Teddy Pierce?
Teddy Pierce. Yes, the LAPD fireman.
LAFD.
LAFD fireman, and he was served a bowl of dog food by his fire.
Well, they put dog food in the spaghetti. I think they made it look like meat sauce.
Yes, right, but the other fireman in his...
They hazed him.
In the firehouse. Yeah, it was a hazing prank.
Right, and apparently he ended up getting millions.
And then,
so that began this game on the John and Ken show. What are you willing to do for a certain amount of money? Because through the civil court system, you know, you can sue, and
sure,
maybe it's a good payday and worth it. So I'll ask you this then. For $9.4 million, would you drink a corrosive cleanser?
Well, what are the consequences?
We'll tell you. A man in Tennessee went to a Cracker Barrel back in 2014. His name is William Cronin, 68 years old. And apparently they served him a glass of water. He drank it, but instead it was a kitchen cleaner called EcoSand, a corrosive kitchen cleaner.
Oh, no.
Basically, he drank some acid.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No. No, I say no on the 9.4.
You're passing on the 9.4 million? That was the jury's award, but apparently under Tennessee law, it's going to get knocked down. They cap non-economic damages at $750,000, and the jury gave him $3.6
million.
And punitive damages are twice the amount of economic damages, so he's probably not going to get all that money. He was having lunch. He was served this kitchen cleaner because apparently the workers, and they're not saying who was responsible, kept it in an unmarked pitcher. So somebody must have just grabbed it and thought it was water.
Oh, come on. That's really stupid. Why don't you keep it in the original container?
He immediately had a burning sensation in his mouth and esophagus.
Oh, man. That's not on the menu.
And according to his lawyer, on a daily basis, he has cramping, bloating, diarrhea. He has basically irritable bowel syndrome. He can't stray too far from home because he constantly needs to be near a restroom.
So it burned his system. It just wrecked his whole digestive system.
It did. Well, it's supposed to clean the worst of the germs and the stains
It really cleaned him out, huh?
Sadly, yes.
Oh, that's a terrible story.
The policy at Cracker Barrel is never put chemicals in unmarked containers, but apparently,
but
that particular day, that's what happened.
You have a moron not paying attention. Doesn't matter what your policy is.
But Cracker Barrel is going to file a motion for a new trial. They just think that's too much money.
Well, if there's a cap on it, then it's a moot point anyway.
Yeah, it'll be reduced by millions probably.
Just write him a check.
Just
write him, poor guy. All right. Tim Conway's here.
Hey, you know, part of that story, the guy originally wanted $150,000. That's all he wanted.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and Cracker Barrel said F you.
Oh,
they're like a mom and pop place, so they probably said no, not F you. And then they rolled the dice, went to trial, and that's where they got stung.
Well, that was a poor decision.
Well, yeah, good. Very poor.
He's certainly going to get more than $150,000.
Well, they should have to pay the $9.5 million if that's the story.
Steve Gregory is going to come on at 6:05. We think that's tentative. And then Renee Reyes is coming on. He's the VP of programming for the Paley Center. They're going to do that Paley Fest in person. And then we found out today that Israel, the top doctor in Israel, top doctor in London, said that the masks don't do anything.
Yeah. Right. I saw.
So we've been 2 years of this for no reason.
Now
right?
They're admitting all their orders were wrong.
Right.
Yesterday, you're right. We shouldn't have closed the schools. Today, it's like, the masks don't really work. Yeah, the vaccines don't work in that Omicron.
But see, this is what's so bizarre about this country. The head doctor for Israel said the masks don't do anything. Head doctor in London, masks don't do anything. And then today, the president said we're sending out 400 million masks to the citizens.
That won't work.
I don't get it. Plus, the two-hour press conference, I missed the first 10 minutes of it, but I didn't hear one question about the crime in this country. Did he mention it at all?
I don't know.
I didn't hear
a half hour driving in and could barely stay conscious.
I couldn't believe it.
And you know what? The answer to the first question was about as incoherent as I've ever heard anyone in public. I mean, it was long-winded, rambling.
I feel bad for the guy because obviously he didn't want to be president. His wife wanted him to become president so she could become first lady. Well, he doesn't want that.
You know, there's a politician in New York said at this point it's elder abuse.
By the way, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm fascinated by the things that you don't recognize or acknowledge or see in life.
Uh-oh.
But do you know in this room there's three light panels and two of them are off? It's like a Halloween movie in here. You didn't notice that?
No.
What? How about this?
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Two-thirds of the lights in this studio were out.
I just thought I was fading away. I just figure at the end you start to dim, and then it'd go black, and that's it.
That's great.
End of the show.
It's like a Halloween movie in here. Yeah, seriously. That's great, man.
I'm mocked at home all day for the things I don't notice.
Well, here,
He's close to being Biden. Let's face it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I said about a singer. I said, geez, I wonder if he got to see the movie. Who's the singer for Licorice Pizza, the main song? Does anybody know? David Bowie. I said to my wife and my daughter, I said, hey, do you think David Bowie's seen this movie? Dead. Has it gotten to London yet? And they look at each other, and then they look back at me, and they go, he's been dead for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I didn't know that. And my wife is silent for another minute. She goes, Tim, when he died, you did an hour on him on the show on how much you loved him and the music. Isn't that great?
Must be fun being you.
Every day's a new day.
Yeah, really.
Hey, Joe.
You know, this is the onset of dementia.
Yeah.
I sort of like it. I really do.
Wow. Well, you can enjoy everything again.
Yeah, I don't remember anything. It's great.
No, that's great.
Right? It's like you meet somebody, go, hey, nice to meet you. I'm your brother.
I heard this new song today.
Right, exactly.
All right. We got
Dog
with the news.
Let's go.
KFI, KRSD, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.